Hi everyone, my name is Jack Rico, and welcome to episode 141 of the Highly Relevant Podcast. On today's episode...
Y el Latin Grammy es bebé.
Ricky Martin.
El album pop.
Alejandro Sanz.
Y el Latin Grammy
es... Para quién
es... Mejor álbum de música ranchera.
Para quién es...
Del rock al flamenco y del pop. Esto es para Colombia.
The 21st Latin Grammy nominations were announced, and music critic Isabella Raigosa joins the show to help me deconstruct what the nominations mean to music fans and the music industry, if white and black artists will continue to collaborate with Spanish artists, and we weigh in on who will win and lose on Latin's biggest night in music. But before I talk to Isabella, it's time I give you my weekly review of what's happening in Latinx pop culture in a segment I like to call... Jacked In. Let's begin with the top movie, TV, and music news of the week. Ricky Martin will co-star in Netflix's Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey. There's a Latinx reboot of The Father of the Bride being developed at Warner Brothers. Oscar Isaac to play Francis Ford Coppola and Barry Levinson's Making of the Godfather. Jennifer Lopez to be honored at E's People Choice Awards. Colombian actress Diane Guerrero to star in Latinx animated horror drama called Woman of the Book on Facebook Watch. Nicaraguan superstar writer Roberto Aguirre Sacasa is doing Pretty Little Liars reboot on HBO Max. Conan the Barbarian TV series is in works at Netflix. A Rock in Espanol TV drama series during the mid 1990s in Mexico City is being developed. Steven Spielberg's West Side Story remake is being delayed nearly a year, and a recut of Godfather 3 will be available on Blu-ray and digital December 8th. And in tech and social media news, Facebook is unifying Instagram, WhatsApp, and Messenger under itself. LinkedIn added LinkedIn Stories to its app. Twitter to fix AI system that cut black people from photos. Spotify wants to turn their podcasts into TV shows and movies. Amazon created a security drone that watches your home. YouTube 4K has now come to Apple TV, iPhone, and iPad, but no HDR or 60 frames per second on TV. Disney Plus is developing a co-viewing feature called Group Watch that allows up to 7 people to watch the same Disney Plus title together, even if they are in separate places. To discuss the 21st Latin Grammy Award nominations, I welcome Isabella Raigosa, who is a Latin music expert who contributes regularly to SoundCloud and is a contributing writer at Billboard magazine. She is also an old friend of the show, and I'm happy to have her back on the podcast today. Welcome to the Highly Relevant Podcast once again, Isabella.
Thank you so much, Jack. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
All right, so before we kick things off, let's talk a little bit about Fresh Press Podcast on SoundCloud. It's a new podcast, I understand. Tell me a little bit about it, what it's about, and how did it come to be?
Yeah, so we have several different channels. One of them is Fresh Press on SoundCloud's Twitch channel, and that one particularly is highlighting the artists that are emerging. So in SoundCloud, we put a lot of focus on creators that are in the underground, and we hope to be that outlet to help catapult their career further. So we bring in 3 artists every Monday to basically interview them and do a Q&A. So that's right now I've had the pleasure of being a co-host during his...
That is so awesome. Tell me a little bit about SoundCloud. I've been sort of kind of detached from it. I remember I used to use it to find like new music, but then I feel like there's been so many other platforms and so many other options. What's SoundCloud like today?
So the difference between SoundCloud and other streaming outlets, like say Apple and Spotify, is that one, you can be interactive in SoundCloud. Obviously, you can continue to upload your music and participate in New Music Fridays. We also feature playlists as the other platforms that I mentioned. But the unique thing about SoundCloud is that, like I mentioned, creators can interact with other producers, other artists. So people end up linking up, other creators end up just reconnecting in that way. And also, you can also be a curator because you have a profile. Mm. You can be reposting other tracks. You can be definitely providing that kind of content. So I like it because it has that ability to work as a social media as well, besides the streaming platform.
That is so awesome. Well, let's get right into it. J Balvin, Bad Bunny, and Ozuna lead the nominations. Balvin got 13 nods. Bad Bunny got 9. Both nominated twice in the prestigious Album of the Year category. Ozuna scored 8 nods overall. Give me your first reaction at seeing the list. What stood out to you the most?
What stood out to me is that we have an equal balance of Urbano acts being paired with singer-songwriters and pop artists. And some that are a little bit under the radar, but paired with artists that have produced a lot of viral hits. So at least for the most coveted categories like Record of the Year, Album of the Year, I definitely see a mixture of genres. The only thing that also always stands out to me is that they tend, even though it reflects diverse genres, I always feel like it's lacking in, like, say, rock music or electronic.
Why is that?
I would say because right now, unfortunately, there's not a lot of popularity in rock music, I think, with electronic artists. They tend to fly under the radar. So I do feel like a lot of new artists that are making that sort of music, at least in the electronic space, get just overlooked in general. So perhaps it's because they haven't been nominated. Somebody from the members team in the Latin Grammys and the Recording Academy, maybe we need more diversity. And that was exactly what was going on in the controversy. Like, why without reggaeton, there is no Latin Grammys? It was the same reason, because there wasn't a member of a reggaeton expert bringing that diversity or that reggaeton genre into these categories. And I think that they might be perhaps lacking an expert in those genres.
One of the things, obviously, that has been sort of rubbing reggaetoneros the wrong way for so many years is that since the early 2000s, when reggaeton started hitting mainstream in the Spanish language market, when we kind of started departing from El General and started getting into Daddy Yankee and Rakim and Ken-Y, we started noticing that the Latin Grammys, for the most part, disregarded them. They dismissed that genre as urban music meant for street people. And I guess there was sort of an elitist tone with the Latin Grammys, something I didn't really think, because it was the most listened to genre for, come on, let's be honest, for almost 20 years now. And for the Latin Grammys to not treat it, and I'm not going to say necessarily as prestige music, but to treat it as the popular listened to music by this generation of Latinos has been somewhat baffling. And last year, I think Balvin, J Balvin, sort of boycotted the Latin Grammys. He didn't attend, like, in protest. And Nicki Jam and everybody else was saying, well, why can't we be a part of the Record of the Year, Song of the Year? What was the shift that happened between last year and the last 12 months that all of a sudden reggaetoneros are, like, the most nominated at this Latin Grammy nominations?
Well, one, obviously, as we already saw this year, that there is a new category, and it's the reggaeton category, which was previously non-existent, as you mentioned. And that's the same exact thing that happened with hip-hop back in the traditional American Grammys.
Many that's years. Right.
It took a while for just urban music in general to be validated, because, I, you know, like you mentioned, there was some sort of elitist tone. But at the same time, I don't think it was pretty intentional. I just feel that there haven't been members in the board to represent these genres. And one, like you did say, reggaeton did explode massively globally with Gasolina in the mid-2000s. I don't think that a lot of people beyond the genre or outside of the genre foresaw the revival that it was going to have as we right. see it today.
Well, why don't we go right into the four major categories, because I'm dying to get your predictions on this. Let's start with Album of the Year. Bad Bunny. Mira, I can't even spell this. YHLQMDL. What is that?
Yo hago lo que se me dé la gana.
All right, I'm out of it, man. This guy's now initializing all these sentences. Okay.
Yo.
Then you got J Balvin and Bad Bunny for Oasis, arguably one of my favorite reggaeton albums of all time. J Balvin and Colores. I think that this was more of a shift into prestige reggaeton, this album in particular. Camila por Primera Vez, Kany García, Mesa para Dos, Jesse and Joy, all pop con Aire, Versión Día. Natalia Lafourcade keeps on coming at the Album of the Year. She's been a frequent participant in the last 5 to 10 years. Ricky Martin makes a comeback with Pausa. Fito wow. Paz, you were just talking about, you know, Rock en Español, La Conquista del Espacio, and Carlos Vives con Su Vallenato de Colombia and Cumbiana. What do you make of this list, and who do you think is a major pick for winner of Album of the Year?
Well, I'm going to be a little biased and say which one was my favorite. And honestly, I was very much impressed by Bad Bunny because he definitely tapped into other genres. He definitely also rescued that old reggaeton sound, and that he's bringing a very fresh element into this urban space. Definitely Oasis was a great one as well. And I mean, they have both J Balvin and Bad Bunny album of the year. I mean, I do think that it says something about the current state of music right now. And yeah, you did mention there is a rock album in there. But honestly, it wasn't one of the albums that stood out to me. I personally did oversee it. What has surprised me is that some of my favorite albums don't appear on in the categories, like Boom Booty, for example. I thought that album was so excellent. The one that he released earlier this year, it was called Posible. No me voy a quedar por aquí demasiado tiempo. Me he ido y he vuelto solo por ti. So I was like, wow, that's really surprising, because that was such an excellent forward-thinking album, and it's rock, it was electronic, it was, the production was just impeccable. But this list in general, like I mentioned earlier, is that it is a pretty equal balance of like the singer-songwriter, the Urbano, and definitely Carlos Vives has also been a long-time favorite of the Grammys with Vallenato. So I obviously always like to see the diversity reflected, because I do feel that Latin music in general should always represent the many rich colors that we have. So I think it's a pretty solid selection of nominees.
Where is Ricky Martin today musically?
He did a collaboration with Carla Morrison, and honestly, I'm not going to tell you that I listened to the whole album. I listened to that track and it was pretty great. He's kind of delving into the softer side of pop. It's more like orchestral, melodic. Honestly, it's not an album that stood out to me, or it didn't make me want to continue exploring it, to be honest with you. But I definitely did think it was a great pairing that he did with Carla Morrison, because she is a somber pop songstress, Mexicana. And I think that she's been producing a lot of really cool songs. I mean, at least she just came out with her own single today. I mean, this last week. And I definitely thought that it was an interesting pair, because she's such an indie artist, mm-hmm. and obviously Ricky Martin is like the original crossover artist.
He's an OG, yeah, now by this point.
What's the differences between J Balvin and Bad Bunny right now? I feel like these two artists are at the top and the pinnacle and the crest of their industry, yet they're not the same exact artists.
Definitely at their pinnacle. They were both featured at the Super Bowl along with J-Lo and Shakira, so they were the ones that were definitely present and continue to just be the most visible in the genre. The difference is that obviously Bad Bunny is Puerto Rican, J Balvin is Colombian. So J Balvin has been responsible for quote unquote sophisticating reggaeton. By what I mean by that is making it more pop, polished, working with Sky Rompiendo, who's been doing a big movement with Colombian reggaeton in Medellin, with Karol G, with Maluma. And definitely there's like a more R&B tonality to his vocal delivery, and definitely a lot, I would say, smoother, just like that kind of like that like that smooth playboy kind of vibe. But we're I mean, that's the vibe he's going for, I think. And with Bad Bunny, I think that he's a bit more of a multifaceted artist, because as we saw in his albums and in his previous albums, is that not only is he tapping into an old school style reggaeton by bringing that kind of maximalist EDM perreo sound, but at the same time, he's also doing like the passionate ballad. Like Vete is one of the songs that is nominated for Record of the Year, and it's impeccable. The production of it, it has a huge drop, a super contagious hook. And also the fact that he's one of the few artists that would appear in drag, that he dresses and plays with gender, and he's not afraid to be out there, you know, paint his nails, put on, get his manicure, and be super outlandish. So he's such an unconventional artist for your traditional Puerto Rican reggaetonero, and I think that that is what charms a lot of people about him.
Well, let's move on to Record of the Year now. Anuela A,
Daddy Yankee and Karol G featuring Ozuna and J Balvin for China. Pablo Alborán, who I love his song Recuérdame, not too long ago. He's back in the record of the year, Cuando Estés Aquí, a nice, beautiful power ballad. Bad Bunny and Vete, which you just mentioned. Bajo Fondo, which is part of the Gustavo Santaolalla Argentina accordion sort of tango. They're also nominated with Solari Yacumenza featuring Cuarén 1080. J Balvin with Rojo, Camilo featuring Pedro Capó and Tutu. Cani García y Noel Benici, Lo Que En Ti Veo, Karol G and Nicki Minaj and Tusa. Nicki Minaj is singing Spanish in this track.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't.
She wrote her own lyrics too.
Yeah. Ahora soy una chica mala. And now you kicking and screaming a big toddler. Don't try to get your friends to come holler. Can you break that collaboration down to me? Because Nicki Minaj, I think, is a little too late to the party.
Yeah, she definitely is careful with her collaboration. I definitely did sense a lot of like female empowerment in the song. Tusa is about a heartbreak and is kind of feeling this fight. And it's Colombian slang. So it's about like, hey, olvídate la Tusa, forget your Tusa, and let's go and have some fun. What I do enjoy about that specific collaboration is that one, obviously, we have like an OG hip hop rapper, and she's one of the best lyricists out there, in my personal opinion, about American rap. And Karol G is definitely holding her own right now. I think that her pairing up with Ovi on the drums, who is one of the most amazing producers, in my opinion, today from Medellin too, he definitely highlighted the violin out of that song, and no one in reggaeton was featuring any violin hooks. So I definitely do enjoy her songwriting. She's very forward, obviously very sex positive as well. But I just like how unflinching they both are in terms of writing really good rap lyrics and definitely not sticking to like the safe pop formula. So I do feel that Nicki Minaj was basically the secret weapon to that song.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's paid off for her and Karol G. What is it about Colombian music producers in the reggaeton genre today that have completely skyrocketed?
Well, initially, it all started because they wanted to replicate the sounds that were coming out of Puerto Rico. But because of limited resources, they ended up having to customize its own music. And that definitely spawned the whole movement, which I mentioned, it has a more polished sound. It has a more of a melodic hooks. And I think that just became such a very fantastic original point for them, because initially, and this is me speaking with Karol G last year, I interviewed her, and she was explaining this to me as well, that they had to work with their resources, but that ended up becoming sort of like a blessing in disguise for all these producers, because it just invented its own Medellin style. It takes a scene to be able to be globally recognized. And from there, obviously, like J Balvin was the first one to just skyrocket with that R&B pop boosted reggaeton sound.
Now let's go on to Song of the Year, ADMV by Maluma, Bonita by Juanes and Sebastián Yatra, Codo con Codo con Jorge Drexler, El Mismo Aire by Camilo, For Sale, Alejandro Sanz, Carlos Vives, El Mundo Fuera, Alejandro Sanz, Lo Que En Ti Veo, Cani García, René by Residente, Tiburones by Ricky Martin, Tusa by Karol G and Nicki Minaj, and Tutu by Pedro Capó and Camilo. Any differences here between Song of the Year and Record of the Year?
Song of the Year is more focused on the singer-songwriter element, whereas Record is more about the multiple components, which is the production, the mastering, the mixing, the engineering. Song of the Year is strictly based on just lyrics. And I feel that it's the point where singer-songwriters get highlighted. And as we see, there's only actually two urban songs in here, as what I can tell by a glance, which is Tusa and maybe René's. But even René's song was more of a ballad-leaning song as well. And obviously, we've known that he's been one of the most pedagogic lyricists out there. It's for deep thinkers.
Yeah, he's almost like an academic when it comes to lyricism. Mm-hmm. He's a poet. He's
definitely
a poet who happens to be doing this this genre of music. And then we got Best New Artist. There's Anuel A. again, Raúl Alejandro, Mike Bahia, Kazu, Conociendo Rusia, which I love that name, Soy Emilia, Kurt, Nicki Nicole, Nati Peluso, Petición, and Woz. I don't think I've heard any of these people, to be quite honest with you. What do you
except
make?
Anuel.
Except Anuel, yeah. What do you make of this category and of this list of upcoming artists? Who do you think here has the potential to stand the test of time?
Who has the potential to stand the test of time? Wow, that's a good question. I would say Kazu. She is an Argentinian trap lyricist, rapper. She has like the Harley Quinn image. I met her at last year's Latin Grammys, and I saw her as well last year open up for Baja Beach Fest, where Bad Bunny and J Balvin headlined. And right now, Argentina is having a massive trap scene. It's insane. I actually went to cover Batalla de los Gallos, where I met Woz, one of the best new artists. Mm-hmm. And Woz started off freestyling just as a freestyler in one of the plazas in a park in Argentina. It's become such a massive movement. And ever since YouTube, they started adding their freestyle rap battles on YouTube, they went viral, like 21 million views, because they're just like insane, like just wordsmith.
Wow.
So just to see Woz in here, I was pretty surprised, because I ended up flying to Argentina to cover Batalla de los Gallos, which gathers all the best underground like hood rappers from that they compete. They submit a video to Red Bull, and then the international took place in Argentina last year. And they, every single country competes. So it was like 17 or 16 guys from all over Latin America, and they all compete by battling. It's like 8 Mile Eminem. Yeah. That's exactly that.
That's awesome.
It was like, what the heck? It was so, and then I remember like the car that was picking me up, and they were like, oh, what brings you to Argentina? And I said, oh, I'm going to cover Batalla de los Gallos. Oh my God, Argentinian trap here is massive. And then that's when I discovered Kazu. And she, I mean, and honestly, right now in the urban space, we have Karol G, Kazu, Nati Natasha, very few women that are pretty much leading the Urbano wave, but they're very, very, very present. And that's why I think that Kazu has that quality to stand the test of time.
Where would you say Latin music is today in the Spanish language market? And what is its relationship to the American mainstream media? Because I feel like reggaeton has sort of faded out in terms of collaboration, charts. The movement itself seems to have slowly dissipated, but it's still strong in the Spanish language market. How would you describe Latin music today overall?
Even just to speak about reggaeton, obviously we saw it from this maximalist EDM approach, where it was more like aggro-aggressive. Today, as I mentioned, it was more pop boosted with R&B tonalities. And artists like Rauw Alejandro, who is the best new artist, he's one of the guys that is infusing R&B with Urbano productions. So that is one direction where it's heading. And a lot of electronic artists like Steve Aoki, he just created his own Latin label and has made artists like Aki Ay, who are doing M-pop instead of K-pop. So it's Mexican pop. And so I definitely see a lot more pop. I see the approach going into more R&B, but at the same time, a lot more electronic, because a lot of electronic artists and even hip-hop artists are collaborating with Latin Urbano artists. And that is what it takes. If in the American world, if rock and roll is going to be rescued, it's because a hip-hop artist is choosing to collaborate with Blink-182, with Travis Barker, someone like Post Malone, for example. And that's exactly the same thing that's happening here. We already see that Travis Scott collaborated with Rosalia, obviously Nicki Minaj with Karol G. So the more we're continuing to see the support of like American artists like Beyonce doing the collaboration with J Balvin, Bieber, with Despacito, that's going to continue to rise. And that's definitely going to shape a lot of Latin music. And I mean, now we're starting to see how bilingual is just accepted entirely. When you first interviewed me 3 years ago in 2017, you said, why haven't American outlets paid attention to the music that's been going on for decades, a century, which is Latin music. Why finally now are outlets like Rolling Stone starting to pay attention to Latin artists? Is because the movement has already existed, but now that they're getting validated by American acts, of American publication, it just gives it more of a staying power to be able to participate in American culture, as we actually saw in this year's Super Bowl with Shakira and J-Lo.
That's so funny, because I remember when Jay-Z and Linkin Park got together and you thought that rock was going to, you know, just pop, and then Kanye West and Coldplay collaborated, and you were starting to see this, but you're right, that actually might be happening too. If it's ever going to happen, if rock and Espanol is ever going to just, you know,
yeah,
just
that is not like rock and Espanol as we knew it in the 80s and 90s. I don't know about that one.
yeah. It's going to have to evolve along with the reggaetoneros and the Bad Bunnies that might want to look at that sound and find some freshness and some fusion and hybrid musical tonalities to kind of create something new. But that would be very exciting. And I love the fact that we're leaving 20 years of the same sound on radio, and we're kind of moving into a different direction with reggaeton. And I hope it becomes more poppy and R&B-ish, at least for me, because, you know, I would totally enjoy it. But with influences of reggaeton, do you think American artists are still interested in Spanish language music and reggaeton?
It's definitely going to continue, because every week is when it's New Music Friday, you see a new American artist, a new mainstream artist collaborating with a Latin artist. And that's definitely, I mean, and also collaborations are massive in Latin music. We see Daddy Yankee participate in so many hits. How many hits does he have? Because
he's
the main singer or the featured artist. So that is always going to be very important. The real question is, can a standalone artist make it on their own, or do they have to pair up with somebody to continue having relevancy? That is the question that I actually want to know.
Yeah, what do you think?
Okay, so to answer my own question, it's going to be really rare for a standalone artist to make it without any collaborations, I feel. And in terms of the popularity and going viral, when you pair two demographics together, obviously it becomes more exponential for the visibility of
Look at Despacito.
Dead album or track. Yeah, exactly. And I actually had another panel with the VP of Latin Billboard, Leila Cobo, staff writer from the Recording Academy, and the co-founder of Remezcla. And I asked them, why was Despacito the song to catapult Latin music? Why did it have to take Despacito? What about Despacito is it that now we American outlets have accepted Latin music? And honestly, everybody actually said Bieber. And I'm like, what?
Curious to ask you all, what do you think was like the magic of Despacito? Because that is the song that really did transform the American mainstream's perspective on Latin music.
Bieber just jumping on it, you know, I think that was, I remember even my reaction to it was like, wow, you know, like my mouth was like, what? Like, I couldn't fathom a mainstream artist, a superstar like Bieber, jumping on a Spanish song. Mm-hmm. You know, that was just a huge moment.
Like, I was actually shocked because I didn't know the answer to the question. This is just conversation that we keep unpacking. And it kind of did validate my point, is like, wow, we're still in the stage where we need American artists to say, hey, you know what? I like what you're doing. Let's collaborate. And obviously that is what's going to rescue rock and roll in American music, you know, honestly. Like, and that's what it is. If hip hop accepts it. So, I mean, it's the same with Latin music. It's been working. And now artists are like actually crossing over to singing in Spanish. All these Latin artists, obviously we saw it with Drake, we've seen it with Usher, Nicki Minaj. So all these artists are, and Beyonce. I mean, that is so unprecedented. That's only been in the past half decade that's been going on.
That is true.
I think it's going to continue.
Well, Isabella Regosa, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. If people want to check you out, they can go head on over to SoundCloud. The podcast is called Fresh Press. You can catch her there. You can catch her writing over at Billboard Magazine as well. The Lang Grammys will air November 19th in Miami on Univision. And before I wrap up here, here are three Latin tracks you might want to add to your playlist this weekend. Solari Ya Comienza featuring Quarain 1080, Bajo Fondo. Dos Extraños, 039 featuring Soy Emilia.
Empieza a molestar que haga frío en la ciudad.
Buenos Aires, Nati Peluso.
Ese despertador, cansada de esperar, fumando sola en el balcón, imaginando que alguien me viene a buscar.
That's it for episode 141 of the Highly Relevant Podcast. I want to thank Isabella Regosa for coming on the show. And if you like the show, please subscribe and leave a review on our iTunes page. Also, if you'd like a shout out on the show, you can reach out to me on Twitter at @JackRicoOfficial and on my Instagram at @JackRico. I'm Jack Rico. See you next week on another episode of Highly Relevant.